We're here, wherever here is, to influence those around us. This is the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. It's the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. Today is Psalms Wednesday, and we'll read chapters 72 through 74. As always in Psalms, before I read each chapter, I'll have a brief introduction for you before I have comments on it. Also, we'll have a time of prayer, and we'll have our fourth installment of Essentials. Someone has a question for me from the second Essentials segment, the one on hell. I'll answer that question, and also there was a point I forgot to make on that episode, so I'll be addressing that as well. The title of today's episode is Carry the Banner. Let's get started with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time together, and I pray, God, that as we read, you would teach us and help us to see, Lord, how we can apply what we read today to our lives today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's begin. Introduction to Psalm 72. This psalm is entitled A Psalm of Solomon, but translating from the Hebrew into English can be a bit inexact at times. This is one example. Some translations render the Hebrew here as a psalm for Solomon, and still others as a psalm to Solomon. So we have three possibilities: a psalm of Solomon, a psalm for Solomon, and a psalm to Solomon. As a matter of fact, nearly every psalm with this title can be translated in one of these ways. So how do we decide which word to use when there are multiple possibilities? Well, you look at the context. What does the surrounding text say? Or I suppose in the case of the title of a psalm, what does the psalm say? Which translation makes the most sense based on what the psalm says? Well, in the case of Psalm 72 here, a case can easily be made for any one of these uses, which is, of course, why different Bible translations render it differently. Some commentators look at this psalm as being written by David for and about his son Solomon, and about his, David's, future descendant, the Messiah. So their translation of the title is a psalm for Solomon, or even a psalm to Solomon. Other commentators believe that the most logical translation is a psalm of Solomon. The final verse of this psalm is, "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, end here." So many scholars think that Solomon compiled Book 2 of Psalms and wrote this psalm as an ending of psalms that were primarily written by David. Book 2 is made up of Psalms 42 right up until this one, Psalm 72. Take note that as we read it, the subject of the psalm is not David, but Solomon partly, and it is certainly applicable to the Messiah. Psalms chapter 72. God, give the king your good judgment, and the king's son your goodness. Help him judge your people fairly, and decide what is right for the poor. Let there be peace on the mountains, and goodness on the hills for the people. Tell him to be fair to the poor, and save the needy, and punish those who hurt them. May they respect you as long as the sun shines, and as long as the moon glows. Let them be like rain on the grass, like showers that water the earth. Let goodness be plentiful where he lives. Let peace continue as long as there is a moon. Let his kingdom go from sea to sea, and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Let the people of the desert bow down to him, and make his enemies lick the dust. Let the kings of Tarshish and the faraway lands bring him gifts. Let the kings of Sheba and Seba bring their presents to him. Let all kings bow down to him, and all nations serve him. He will help the poor when they cry out, and will save the needy when no one else will help. He will be kind to the weak and poor, and he will save their lives. He will save them from cruel people who try to hurt them, because their lives are precious to him. Long live the king. Let him receive gold from Sheba. Let people always pray for him and bless him all day long. Let the fields grow plenty of grain and the hills be covered with crops. Let the land be as fertile as Lebanon, and let the cities grow like the grass in a field. Let the king be famous forever. Let him be remembered as long as the sun shines. Let the nations be blessed because of him, and may they all bless him.
Praise the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does such miracles. Praise His glorious name forever. Let His glory fill the whole world. Amen and amen. This ends the prayers of David, son of Jesse.
Psalm 73 begins Book 3 of the Psalter. The title of the psalm is A Psalm of Asaph. Now, Asaph was a musician and singer during the times of both David and Solomon. And in addition to his musical talents, 1 Chronicles 25 and 2 Chronicles 29 tell us that Asaph was also a prophet. And as we read through this psalm, notice the pronouns. In the first section, Asaph talks about what will happen to the ungodly. And in these verses, the dominant pronoun is they. And then from verses 13 to 17, the dominant pronoun is I, as he describes how troubled he is about this situation until he discovered the cure for his trouble. And verses 18 through 22 find the focus now on God, and the dominant pronoun is you. Finally, in the closing verses, he confesses his faith in God and the assurance he has that he will spend eternity with him. And the dominant pronouns here are both you and I.
Psalm chapter 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How would God know? Does the Most High know everything?" This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and arrogant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds.
Psalm 74 is entitled A Maskil of Asaph. Some translations render it as A Contemplation of Asaph. We've talked about what a maskil is before, so I won't belabor it now. This is a psalm of sorrow upon the destruction of the sanctuary. Now, we don't know the actual time of this psalm, because the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians and then later during the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes. And there's a third possibility. Asaph was thinking back to when the tabernacle was destroyed in Shiloh, as in 1 Samuel chapter 4. The Hebrew word for sanctuary here in this psalm is also used for the tabernacle in Exodus 25, Leviticus 12 and 21, and in Numbers 10 and 18. Now, you might be wondering about how Asaph is a possibility when these events happened hundreds of years apart. Well, I'm glad you asked. Commentator James Montgomery Boyce explains in reference to this psalm referring to the destruction by the Babylonians or Antiochus Epiphanes. He says, either this is a later Asaph, which is not unlikely since the name might have been perpetuated among the temple musicians, or more likely, the name was affixed to many psalms produced by this body of musicians. We know that the, quote, descendants of Asaph, unquote, were functioning as late as the reign of Josiah in 2 Chronicles 35:15.
Psalms chapter 74. O God, why have you rejected us so long? Why is your anger so intense against the sheep of your own pasture? Remember that we are the people you chose long ago, the tribe you redeemed as your own personal possession. And remember Jerusalem, your home here on earth. Walk through the awful ruins of the city. See how the enemy has destroyed your sanctuary. There your enemies shouted their victorious battle cries. There they set up their battle standards. They swung their axes like woodcutters in a forest. With axes and picks they smashed the carved paneling. They burned your sanctuary to the ground. They defiled the place that bears your name. Then they thought, let's destroy everything. So they burned down all the places where God was worshipped. We no longer see your miraculous signs. All the prophets are gone, and no one can tell us when it will end. How long, O God, will you allow your enemies to insult you? Will you let them dishonor your name forever? Why do you hold back your strong right hand? Unleash your powerful fist and destroy them. You, O God, are my king from ages past, bringing salvation to the earth. You split the sea by your strength and smashed the heads of the sea monsters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan and let the desert animals eat him. You caused the springs and streams to gush forth, and you dried up rivers that never run dry. Both day and night belong to you. You made the starlight and the sun. You set the boundaries of the earth, and you made both summer and winter. See how these enemies insult you, Lord. A foolish nation has dishonored your name. Don't let these wild beasts destroy your turtle doves. Don't forget your suffering people forever. Remember your covenant promises, for the land is full of darkness and violence. Don't let the downtrodden be humiliated again. Instead, let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, and defend your cause. Remember how these fools insult you all day long. Don't overlook what your enemies have said or their growing uproar.
Well, beloved, in Psalm 73 today, we see a man who at first seems to be complaining that doing right and living a good life isn't worth the effort. He suffered while the unrighteous seemed to have it easy. But then, when he entered the sanctuary, he realized that their ultimate destiny was ruin. Have you ever thought that it just doesn't seem fair? You look around and you see people that you know don't live for God, and they have money and power and influence, fame, and all the rest, while you struggle to make ends meet. Maybe you have physical challenges, or people look at you like you're stupid to believe in a God you can't see. Beloved, hang in there. Our time on this earth is really only just a fleeting moment in time. Eternity is a long, 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 long time. I'll gladly sacrifice the supposed comforts of wealth now to live in the fellowship and the presence of the Lord forever. I have no doubt that it will be worth it. Run the race all the way to the finish line. Now, the opening sentence of Psalm 74 captures what many today might be thinking. Oh God, why have you rejected us forever? The world really is a troubled place right now, isn't it? Most of the world has rejected God and has been living in rebellion to Him for decades and even centuries. Even my home, the United States, which had its founding primarily for the practice of freedom of religion, threw God out of the schools in 1963 when I was in the third grade. And since Roe v. Wade, millions and millions of babies have been murdered, sacrifices to the gods of convenience, selfishness, and sexual freedom. God allowed Israel to fall because of their worship of false gods. Do we in America think that if God allowed His chosen people to be taken into captivity multiple times, He won't judge us? I hope that God will continue to shed His grace on us, but for how long will He put up with the rebellion? Only He knows, and I think a case could be made that He's already turned His face from us. But beloved, we must carry His banner. We must speak the truth of Christ boldly. People truly do need the Lord. We can't hide His light under a bushel. Yes, culturally it might seem like the deck is stacked against us, but Jesus started the church with just 12 men. Now, obviously, not everybody listening to this are in America. Well, I'm talking to you, too. Some of the Lifespring family is just north of me in Canada, and you're really going through it right now. Some are in the UK, some New Zealand, some South Africa, and of course we've got Kirsty and others in Australia. There are listeners in Singapore, Nigeria, Spain. To be honest, I've completely forgotten right now. I can't bring the number to my mind how many countries the Lifespring family represents. But every one of you who know Jesus as your Savior probably have family or friends or acquaintances who need Jesus in their lives. And if each one of us were to make it a point to tell them what Jesus has meant in our own lives, how many people would be brought into God's family? And how many people's eternities would be changed? Do you think that would change the world? Well, it would change the world for those people. Those of us that are believers are first and foremost citizens of heaven. Our responsibility is to live for God, but He put each one of us where we are on purpose, by design. We're here, wherever here is, to influence those around us. We're to share the gospel with those God puts in our path. If we do that faithfully, God can use us to make a difference. I would love to hear what your thoughts are. Call the Lifespring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511. Send a boostergram with your comment or go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow will be Poetry Thursday, and we'll read Proverbs chapters 5 and 6.
New mail notification.
I got this note from Lifespring Family Berean Brother John from Canada. He says, I just finished listening to the 2 Samuel 20 through 24, A Clean Slate episode from February 20th. Yes, I'm way behind again. Thanks for the message of hope, especially the stories of God showing Himself strong in the timing of the revivals and the Jesus Revolution movie, etc. I've been depressed lately and feeling the weight of everything, and this message is well-timed for me, even if I'm a month behind. God knows, and He is bigger. Thanks, Steve. Keep doing what you're doing. God is using it, no matter the timing. May the Lord bless you. Well, thanks, Brother John, for your note. You may be behind in the release dates of the show, but it sounds to me like you heard that episode at just the right time, so praise the Lord for that. I'm so sorry to hear that you've been depressed lately. I know that you're carrying a heavy load, John, what with the family responsibilities and working two jobs and more. I know it can seem overwhelming, but please remember that this is just a season. The lovely Lady Leanne and I have had many times like this in our marriage, especially when the kids were growing up, and they still happen from time to time. But through it all, remember that God is right there. He never changes. He gets us through. With each challenge, He gives us the opportunity to trust Him more. John, He is good, and He is trustworthy. God bless you.
Boostergram.
Sean of San Pedro has come in with three separate John 3:16 boosts, 43:16 sats. If you missed it a few days ago, I proposed that we come up with some Christian boosts. There are a lot of different boost amounts that have names, like 22:22 sats being called the Roa Ducks boost, or the 1776 Freedom boost, or the 777 Striper boost. Well, we're calling a 43:16 sat boost the John 3:16 boost because the Gospel of John is the fourth gospel, so 4:3:16. So, Sean, as far as I know, you're the first to send the John 3:16 boosts. Thank you for that. I wonder if we can come up with more Christian boost amounts. Put your thinking caps on and send some creative boosts. For the geeks out there today, I officially submitted the John 3:16 boost to the, quote, official, not really, list of boostergram numbers, unquote, on the PodNews LLC GitHub. We'll see if it gets any traction. And the lovely Lady Leanne sent a 500-sat boostergram, and she said, I'm so grateful that God gave me a man of God. Well, thank you for that, sweetheart. I'm glad He gave me a woman of God. I think I got the better deal. I love you, sweetheart. Thank you. Essentials. I can't believe this is already the fourth installment of the Essentials series. And before I get into today's essential, I got this call on the Lifespring Family Hotline.
Hello, my love. It's your wife. And hello to all the LifeSpring family. Just wanted to call and ask you if you could clarify the difference between the Hades that you referred to in your essential segment of the podcast and the Hades that the Catholic Church refers to. Just a little confusing, and I just wanted to confirm it with everybody else. Love you. Bye.
Thank you for that call, Leanne. So as a reminder, there's a line in the Apostles' Creed that says that Jesus descended into hell. I'm really grateful for Leanne's question because I left out an important point in that episode, which was the Psalms 69 through 71 Praising God Regardless episode. If you missed it, I do suggest you go back and listen to it. But before I get into what I missed, I'll answer Leanne's question. I won't go into everything I said on the episode, but part of the discussion was that the hell referred to in the Apostles' Creed is Sheol or Hades, which has two separate places. One is a place of torment reserved for the wicked and the non-believers, and the other is called Abraham's bosom or paradise, which is for believers. And of course, it is not a place of torment. In Leanne's question, she asked about the Hades of the Catholic Church. What she meant was purgatory. Not being a Catholic, she just used the wrong word. So what is purgatory? Well, according to the Catholic Encyclopedia, purgatory is, quote, a place or condition of temporal punishment for those who, departing this life in God's grace, are not entirely free from venial faults or have not fully paid the satisfaction due to their transgressions, unquote. To put that another way, purgatory is a place that a Christian's soul goes to after death to be cleansed of the sins that had not been fully satisfied during life. Okay, so the question is, does this doctrine of purgatory agree with the Bible? And the answer is, no, it doesn't. Why do I say that? Well, because Jesus' death paid for all of our sins. Romans 5, 8, and 9 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. That seems pretty clear, right? And Isaiah 53, 5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So the healing there refers to the healing of our transgressions and iniquities that he bore on the cross. Jesus suffered. He carried our sins on the cross so that we don't have to. To say that we must also suffer for our sins, even if temporarily in purgatory, is to say that Jesus' suffering wasn't enough. But 1 John 2:2 says, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. And 1 John 1:9 also says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, since we're forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness, there is absolutely no need for us to suffer in purgatory after we die. Now, for the point, the very important point that I forgot to include on that episode. As I said a moment ago, I talked about the suffering side of Hades and the side called paradise or Abraham's bosom. When Jesus was on the cross and the man next to him said, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, I believe Jesus was talking there about Abraham's bosom, that place in Hades where the faithful were, the place also called paradise. But Jesus was only there for the 3 days between the crucifixion and his resurrection when he defeated death. After the resurrection, I believe that all of those souls who were there in paradise were taken to heaven. I believe that Abraham's bosom is no longer necessary. Why do I believe that? Well, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:6 through 8, quote, so we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies for then we will be at home with the Lord. And then one more thing. In Philippians 1, 23 and 24, Paul said, I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me, but for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. So, beloved, from these scriptures, I believe that when a believer dies today, as opposed to dying before Jesus was crucified and resurrected, I believe that he or she immediately goes to heaven. There's no need to go to Hades or Sheol or Abraham's bosom or paradise. When Jesus was resurrected, he took everyone who was there with him. Now, you've heard me say several times here, I believe. That's because there's more than one opinion on this, and that's okay. Honest people can have honest disagreements. What happens at the point of death in this context is not one of the essentials. Whether one believes that a person is immediately in the presence of Jesus or in the paradise I spoke about is not central to the faith. I've always told you that I'd let you know when I'm telling you my opinion. There are some areas that scholars have differing opinions, and that's okay. The important areas are the essentials, as in one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the virgin birth, Jesus' death and resurrection, etc. Those are the essentials. In those, there is no room for multiple opinions. But on something like this, where do we go at the point of death? That's one of those what I call peripheral issues, one of the non-essentials. Okay, so I told you on yesterday's show that I'd be talking about the one God in three persons today, but to do that properly, I think that discussion should be pushed off until the next week. I hope that's okay with you. If you have any questions or comments on what I've said today, feel free to call the LifeSpring Family Hotline or send an email to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Beloved, if you find the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible to be a blessing in your life, would you be willing to help support the show? Please pray about that. Ask the Lord what he would have you do, then head on over to
LifeSpringMedia.com/support.
I'll thank you, and I believe that God will bless you. Prayer requests. Well, Brother John from Canada didn't ask for prayer, but I think it would be a good thing to pray for him and his family, okay? So, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Oh God, you've given us so much. And we worship you and we praise you. We pray now for John and his family, Lord. Bless him in his efforts to provide for his family and encourage him. Lift the depression. Be with him, Lord. Help him, Father, to feel your presence. And I thank you, Lord, for the LifeSpring family. I ask that you bless them, and where there are needs, I pray that you would meet them according to your perfect will, Father. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next time of prayer together here on the show will be Wednesday. If you have a praise that we should know about, or if there's something you'd like us to pray with you or for you about, let me know. Call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511 or go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. If you want to remain anonymous, that's fine. Just let me know in your request or praise report. Beloved, thank you for being a part of the LifeSpring family. Thank you for your prayers and for being here each day. If you're learning, if you're challenged, if you're encouraged by the show, if you'd be willing to help bring God's Word to a world that needs Him, please go to lifespringmedia.com/support. Scott Snyder did today's show art. Thank you, Scott. And also thanks to Sister Denise and Michael Hainer and Jason Pascal and Sister Brittany. And thank you, beloved, for inviting me to be a part of your day. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
LifeSpring Media, bringing the message of hope, love, and good news since 2004.